This is Life to Listen.
Want to see the world from a totally different perspective?
Ready for provocative conversation?
Intriguing stories?
And inspiration?
Then don't touch that dial.
Welcome
to Talk with Francesca.
She'll give you something to talk about all week long. Now,
here's Francesca.
What if you took the time to really soak?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talk with Francesca. I'm Francesca, your host, and I just want you to know that I appreciate you listening to the show. Get out your pen and paper and take some notes. Speak to me. Tell me what's on your mind. My team and I spend lots of time and energy thinking and preparing for our show about things that I care about, and I think and I believe that you will too. So let me know what you're thinking. If you find the show riveting, valuable, horrific, or offensive, you fill in the blank. Jet me an email at info@talkwithfrancesca.com, or you can also go right to my website, talkwithfrancesca.com, and fill out the contact form. Promise to get right back to you. There are many places to find me, Facebook, LinkedIn. If you miss part of this show today, you can go to recent shows on my website, again, talkwithfrancesca.com, and you can listen there. And I'm also on iTunes, so lots of places to listen to Talk with Francesca. But today, I would love it if you would get a pen and paper, because we're going to talk about relationships and how your personality affects your relationships. So Sarah is going to delve deeper into the role of our personality and how it plays into our everyday life. So a big welcome to you, Sarah. Thanks for joining us today on Talk with Francesca.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So Sarah, you have written, you've written a number of books. I know that you sent me the Book of You, which I thought was fascinating. But you also have, you said your third book, Book of Two, which is about relationships. Book of Two, obviously, a couple. And with Valentine's Day around the corner, it would seem fitting that we would discuss that. So how is the Book of Two different from other relationship books that are out there? Because, of course, we know there are absolutely zillions.
Well, what I am doing with the whole Book of You series is writing completely personalized books. So every reader, or in the case of the Book of Two, every two readers, gets a uniquely personalized description of themselves and what they can do to take maximum advantage of their personality. I do this by administering a personality assessment at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And when I get the data back, I can then generate a book just for that reader with information about the reader and some specific suggestions on what he or she can do to, say, increase happiness in a job or find a career that's right for them. Or in the case of the Book of Two, how they can use that information, how two people can use the information to improve their relationship by maximizing the synergies and learning how to deal with the differences.
Do you believe that we know opposites attract? I mean, that's just old news. But do you think that opposites, even though they attract, you think they stay together?
I think it depends. I think it is much more complex than just opposites attract and opposites cause friction. There is some very clear evidence that when styles in various dimensions clash, they can cause conflict down the road. But I think what is more important is whether or not an individual is getting his or her needs met in a relationship. And what is important to understand about needs, the way I look at it from a personality perspective, is that it's measured the same way that we look at style. The underlying needs, what we expect from other people, is measured along the same dimensions as how we behave towards other people, but it often differs. So just because somebody is outgoing and gregarious, what we would label as an extrovert, doesn't mean that's what they're expecting from other people. Their need may be just the opposite, is they want some more quiet, reflective people surrounding them to enable them to recharge. Mm-hmm. And it's that distinction between how we usually behave and what we're actually expecting from others that I think is more critical than actual opposites attract and
style. Right. You know what? I agree with you. And, you know, I'm pretty, I'm extroverted in some ways, but I can also be very introverted. I don't know. Is there such a thing? Can you be an introvert and an extrovert at the same time?
Absolutely. My husband is a case in point. He is generally deemed the effervescent energizer bunny who loves to be the center of attraction in groups. Mm-hmm. But when he shuts down, he's all by himself.
Oh, yeah.
With just me.
Oh, yeah, that's
and I think that was the basis of attraction, actually, because my usual style is to be more quiet, reflective, and focusing on one-on-one relationships. And that's what he needs to actually recharge.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, I prefer definitely to be around people who are more grounding. Although, it's interesting because there's a fine line, you know, grounding and you know, centered, yet I can also get bored with that, you know, male or female, you know, friendship, mm-hmm. a partner, whatever it might be. So it's kind of interesting. Anyway, we're going to talk today, I thought was really fascinating, that you can actually screen for a romantic partner. So tell us more about how you would do that.
Well, my suggestion is to use what I learned in my own process. And it was actually as a result of my husband putting me through the process. I didn't really understand what was going on at the time. And as I reflected on it, I realized that the process of screening for a romantic partner can be very similar to the process that we follow in being screened for a job. And the interview questions, the three typical interview questions that we're almost always asked in a job, can be our guide to actually screening for a romantic partner.
And what are those?
So that the first question is an employer will always ask, why do you want this job? And what they're looking for is to understand whether your interests align with their interests so that you will be happy spending time doing the kinds of things that the job requires.
So how would you translate that question into a question for a potential partner? You wouldn't say, why do you want this job, right?
No, but you would say, do our interests align? Do we have sufficient activities that we're going to enjoy doing together?
So you're saying that you think it's, well, you know, they do, there's this whole thing, couples who play together stay together.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think mm-hmm. there's some truth to that. But then again, you know, my parents were married for 60-something years. And, well, I guess they did enjoy some things together. But, well, I'm thinking about it. You know, but my father went out and golfed and had his buddies. And my mother was more pulled in and, you know, was the old-fashioned couple, Italian couple. I don't know.
So let's take that as an example, because it's not so important that you share all your interests together. What is important is that you get ample opportunity to pursue your interests, whether that is together, and you need a certain amount of time together, mm-hmm. otherwise there's no relationship, but you also need opportunity to, where your interests differ, to pursue your interests apart. And that's the key to that question. Is do you have ample opportunity to pursue your own interests and vice versa for your partner? And is there sufficient opportunity to do that together?
Right.
So that's the first question.
Okay. And what's the second one?
The second question that an employer asks is why do you think you will be successful on this job? And what the employer's looking for there is do you have the strength behaviors that will allow you to be successful? And do you have the skills that will allow you to be successful? And the way that applies to relationship is this. Will you get ample opportunity to use what is natural for you in a behavior, in a relationship? And an example of that is, let's go to my husband's and my example. The strength behavior for me mm-hmm. is I really like focusing on one-on-one relationships. I like the quiet time. That's my preference.
Mm-hmm.
I get ample opportunity to do that because it correlates with my husband's needs. And then the second part of that question relates to relationship skills. Do you know how to negotiate the differences? It's what I call fighting fair.
Right.
Do you know how to deal with personality differences between you and your partner and navigate them effectively? Because no matter how good the match is, there are going to be those conflict points. And to the extent that we learn how to navigate those conflict points in a way that feels good to each partner is the degree to which the relationship is going to be comfortable for each.
Okay, so how else would someone screen for a romantic partner?
The third, and probably the most important, is the corollary in the interview process is an employer will ask, why do you think you'll fit into our organization? And what they want to know is will the culture of the organization meet your needs so that you are not in stress? And that is a really critical component in a relationship. Will your relationship needs get met?
So if someone, not to interrupt, but I'm thinking, you know, if one person has, if they have different needs in terms of how much time they spend together, for example, or how much connection they need, that if that is off, that's like, in a sense, that's like not being able to fit into the culture. Is that right? Is that what I'm hearing
that's
you say?
Exactly right.
Right.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
right.
Like, I mean,
it goes beyond just that. It's how do you need someone to talk with you so that you feel supported? What do you need in terms of making major decisions? What is going to be your process? How do you actually need to relate to time? Do you need to be going all the time, doing activities all the time, or do you need a lot of time to be calm and reflective? It's those kinds of things that are important to understand. And the tricky thing is that, as I said before, they don't always align with the way we usually behave. Case in point, my husband, who is the Energizer Bunny, that's not his underlying need. And so the trick is really understanding what those needs are for you and for your partner so that you can make sure that both get their needs met.
Relationships are complex, aren't they? No wonder 50% of them fail, you know, if that's the accurate number. I don't know if it still is currently, but I mean, relationships are really very, very complex.
And they are complex.
It almost seems like you wonder if it's just something that's bigger than us and if it's just kind of almost fate. In a way, you know, or a bigger plan, because when you start to analyze it like this, it can sound like a very daunting task.
It does sound like a daunting task, and I'm sure that the purpose of relationships and the total scheme of things exists on many planes. I'm dealing with a very simple plane, and I'm dealing with just the interactions of our personalities. And I think that the steps for managing it can be made simple once we understand what we need and what our partner needs. And then it is as simple as crafting the rules to deal with those conflict points going forward.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that time is a big, how much time one wants to spend with each other is a big factor in determining whether or not a couple is going to be successful? And what I'm thinking about is I have one of my closest friends and she really had a tremendous amount of losses growing up. I mean, just like amazing, you know, first her mom and then 6 months later her dad and then her brother got pneumonia and then he passed away. I mean, just loss. So, you know, it's no secret that when she gets into a relationship, she really has a very strong need to be very, very connected. And you know, often we'll talk about it, I'll say, oh, that would drive me crazy. But, you know, I'm just wondering, so, and it's interesting, though, that the man that she sees really is the complete antithesis of what she wants. You know, he really is very distant, very, you know, almost kind of wishy-washy in and out, you know, and I don't know if that's like, you know, her trying to relive or recreate an old story and this time make it a better ending. I have no idea, but I find it interesting that the choices that the men who like really, really, really want her, she's really not that interested in, but the man that really has captured her heart that she, you know, is just really, really wanting and has for the past year is really not what she wants. So how would you speak to that?
Well, it's interesting. I have a client that's in a very similar situation to that right now. She has a very strong need for that ongoing attachment and for an incredible amount of emotional support, which her partner doesn't have a usual style of giving. So there is a bit of a conflict point on that. And what I am suggesting is that she recognize that that is her need, and it may or may not get satisfied in the relationship, but she needs to get it satisfied somewhere. And so I am suggesting to her is that she surrounds herself with a lot of people that can supply that support and that connection, not expect it all from her one partner.
Well, yeah, but that's different than someone who really is very, I mean, is he wishy-washy, or is he just not able to give her as much as she needs? Because there is a difference. I mean, when someone's sort of in and out of a relationship, that's a little bit different than not being able to give the same emotional support. Because, I mean, after all, men, and I love them all, but they're notorious for not being able to really be emotionally connected. And I don't know that that's true with all men. I don't think it is. But I mean, men, for the most part, you know, they still have issues with crying and emoting and sharing and wearing their emotions on their sleeve and listening in a really deep way. I mean, that is really more of a man's MO, dare I say. So what would you say to that?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up. I was reading some research yesterday about the Myers-Briggs personality test.
Yes.
Which is, it's a well-known personality test, and I think it is very good for a lot of situations. It's not the one that underlies my book, but it is a very good personality test. And the only dimension in Myers-Briggs that has a gender difference is the one around thinking versus feeling. And there is a gender difference there in that more men are thinkers and more women are feelers. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, there's not a real gender difference in the other dimensions of the test. So I think that the interesting thing, we have some preconceived notions of gender differences, but there's much more diversity than just gender, except in that one component.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talk with Francesca. I'm speaking with Sarah Brown. We do need to take a short break and hear from our sponsors. But when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about how someone actually clarifies their needs, interests, and strengths as an individual to better serve their relationship. So listeners, stay with us here. Don't touch that dial. We will be right back. Coffee no longer has to be a guilty pleasure. You've heard that red wine is good for you because of nature's most potent antioxidant, resveratrol. Vera Roasting Company makes the only coffee infused with it. Each cup of Vera's coffee delivers the same amount of resveratrol as found in a glass of red wine without the alcohol, sulfates, or tannins. Years of medical studies indicate that regular resveratrol in our diets promote cardiovascular health, slows the progression of certain cancers, Alzheimer's disease, and type 2 diabetes. Vera Roasting Coffee won double-blind taste tests against the leading coffees. Vera Roasting also offers its delicious heart-healthy coffees with added vitamin D to help ward off the winter blues. You can't get Vera Roasting coffee in stores. You need to go to veraroasting.com. Free and fast shipping is always available. veraroasting.com. Vera like Vera Bradley. Go to veraroasting.com. That's veraroasting.com.
Looking for an authentic Italian meal in an intimate setting? Then you might just want to venture out to Boston this weekend and dine at Terra Mia Ristorante, a true gem among all those rhinestones in Boston's North End. This cozy trattoria with stucco walls and beam ceiling specializes in creative interpretations of Italian classics. Like the cuisines here, the atmosphere is elegant yet understated. Since opening in 1993, Terra Mia Ristorante has aimed to convince diners that there's always more to Italian food than just red sauce. Over the years, the innovative and beloved restaurant has done a great deal of convincing, and best of all, it's reasonably priced. This best-kept secret is worth the trip. Call 617-523-3112 or visit terramiarestaurante.com.
It can be easy to lose sight of your dreams and aspirations, especially when they seem so out of reach. Between school, kids, and work, your true desires can get left on the back burner. But you should never settle for less than what you deserve and what you know in your heart of hearts you want to do. Carrie Hummingbird has developed a program that will cast away your fear and self-doubt and inspire you to take charge of your life. But don't take my word for it. Christina Wolf took the program and described it as a trustworthy guide to show you how to transform yourself at the soul level. You will have to dig deep, and it won't be easy. But then again, nothing worth having is. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone, and your comfort zone ends at the Reinvent Yourself program. So what are you waiting for? Visit www.carriehummingbird.com. You'll be glad you did.
Located in Boston's North End holds one of our best-kept secrets, Antico Forno, ranked number 9 of the top 10 Italian restaurants around the world within the category of being one of the most authentic. With a welcoming family feel, it's hard to argue the experience you have when enjoying dinner at Antico Forno. Best known for their brick oven pizza, their world-class traditional cuisine does not fall far behind. Come enjoy dinner at Antico Forno and feel like part of the family. Open daily from 11:30 a.m. until 10 p.m. Call us today at 617-723-6733 or visit us at anticofornoboston.com.
Captain Lord Mansion is the ultimate bed and breakfast experience. It's the only AAA four-diamond bed and breakfast in Kennebunkport. But it's so much more. It's the perfect, elegant, romantic getaway. Relax at their day spa. Be pampered in your room with heated floors, jetted showers and tubs, gas fireplaces, king and queen beds, flat-screen TVs, and all the quaintness with all the modern conveniences. Be surrounded by impeccable gardens, waterfalls, fountains, a putting green, a charming gift shop, wine cellar. The list goes on and on, including a full 3-course breakfast. This is a stay that you will never forget. Engage in our special offers. Call 207-967-3141. 207-967-3141. CaptainLordMansion.com. In Kennebunkport, Maine, memories and elegance await you.
All right, we are back, and you are listening to Talk with Francesca. I'm speaking with Sarah Brown. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So how does someone clarify their needs, their interests, their strengths? I mean, I know that your book of you is a great way to do that. So I guess that, you know, even when they're clarified, how do they follow through?
Well, I do think that an assessment, a really good personality assessment, is a great way to go about it. But there are things that we can do on our own, and it's different for each component. With interest, for example, the very best source of information on what interests us, what we love, what we hate, is ourselves. And we can go a long way in clarifying that with a very short 20-minute exercise. You spend 10 minutes writing down everything that you love to do. Mm-hmm. And at the end of 10 minutes, you set a clock and you keep writing for 10 minutes. And at the end of that 10 minutes, you circle the top 10 and then you prioritize them from 1 to 10. You'll get very close to what your interests and your loves are. And you can do the very same thing with your aversions. Spend 10 minutes writing down everything you hate to do, and then prioritize those as well. And then you've got a very good idea of what you love, what you hate. With strengths, it's not quite so easy. We tend not to be a very good judge of what our strength behaviors are. And I find that the best way to clarify that is to ask somebody else. So you go to somebody who knows and cares about you, and you ask them this question. When I was at my best, what was I doing? And you write down everything that they said. And that is the best way to get clear about what your strengths are. But there is one warning on that. I would not ask a spouse, and I would not ask an existing partner. They tend to focus on the things that we're not good at.
Mm-hmm.
So it is best,
great way to...
It is best to ask somebody else who is not in a long, committed relationship with them.
Like a friend, though.
Like a very good friend,
or even
a parent or a sibling can be a good one. A sibling that you're not living with right now can be a very good person to help you with that.
Sarah, do you, so you, I know you're a coach, but so do you coach more for business or for love or for anything, whatever the person needs?
I coach more for business than anything else, helping people get into the right careers and improving the job that and their effectiveness in the job that they're in.
But you said you had a client that you talked about that had her emotional needs weren't being met, and that sounds very relationship oriented.
That is very relationship oriented. So I do some of that, or it comes up in coaching that we're doing primarily around business. But the rules and the process that we go through in thinking about relationships is very much the same as the process that we go about thinking about how we relate to others in the workplace. And that's the reason that there are similarities, and it comes up in coaching situations around business.
So if you were a single woman and you were... Our listeners tend to be like, you know, women 40 on up, and a lot of them are divorced, some unfortunately even widowed, who have done the online thing. What are the most significant questions to be asking in the early stages of a relationship? So they're out on a date, and without sounding like, you know, they're kind of interviewing the person, how do they, you know, unless they're, you know, a seasoned interviewer where it doesn't come across so much like they're drilling the other person. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I think if I were in that situation, I think I might be able to pull that off because my job is obviously I interview and I can do it in more of a conversational style. Although I've been known to, I mean, people do sometimes say to me, ask a lot of questions, you know, this is just in general in conversation, but what might be some ways that you might be able to practically speaking recommend to a woman or a man, doesn't really matter, questions that they might ask at the onset of a relationship that would give them a better clue as to whether or not it's worth pursuing a second date, a third date, a fourth date.
Well, the number one thing I think you want to find out is, does the individual have the relationship skills to navigate differences? And the question that you can ask to figure this out is, when you had a big fight or disagreement with your last partner, what did you specifically do and what was the outcome? And that'll give you an idea of whether the individual has an inclination to start navigating differences. And then beyond that, your role is to understand specifically what your interests and your needs are, and to sense whether that individual is going to be able to help you get your needs met and pursue your interests.
So run that by me again, just so I'm clear. So you say ask that person, so in your last disagreement with your partner, how did you contribute? How did you resolve it? Is that what you're asking? Is that
what did you do? What specifically did you do?
Do as in do wrong or do to correct?
Doesn't matter. What did you do? And they will tell you what's important to them. And you'll get a sense whether they were contributing to the problem or whether they were actively working on navigating the differences going forward.
Well, you know,
Ask pejoratively. I wouldn't ask right or wrong, what was your role in it? I would ask, what did you do? And see what they tell you.
I think it's always, you know, I think that there are so many clues naturally. You know, I always find, you know, my feeling is that if a relationship isn't going well, my ears always perk up when I hear of people who, you know, they move on. They move on to the next relationship without ending the first one or trying to I mean, I guess, you know, to some degree, I think people on some level always try to fix what's wrong. I don't think that there's a fight and then there's an ending, you know, or then they move on to another relationship. I think that what happens is they try to resolve what's going on. And when they get stuck in the pattern of the fighting, the eventually they're not happy and they move on to the next relationship. But, you know, when that happens, when I hear of people who do that, you know, I always question, like, why, you know, why wouldn't you, I don't want to say just, because just is not, it makes it so trite, so light, but why not talk it out, figure it out. If there is no figuring it out, if you can't get beyond it, then you make a decision to move on and then move on to the next person. But, you know, I always question, and not even in terms of necessarily a person's level of integrity, but also a relationship with themselves. I mean, if they can't figure out how to have a relationship work or not work and end it amicably, well, then why wouldn't that person just bring the same stuff, different day, into the next relationship?
Well, that's the skill that I call fighting fair. And it is understanding what the differences are and working on the best possible solution that's in the best interest of both parties. And that could be moving on to the next relationship. But it's doing so with love and respect.
Right.
For who the individual is and for who you are.
Right. So what are some other significant questions to be asking in the early stages of a relationship?
Well, one of the things to explore, and again, I think the critical thing is to look at will you and your partner have significant enough time to pursue each other's interests. Is this to discover what do you guys love to do, and is there going to be an ample opportunity for you to spend time together doing things that you love, and will you be able to find time to go do things that you differ on separately? So that's one. And then the second is to begin, and you're not going to do this on the first date, by the way, but at some point you want to be pursuing what you need and what that other partner needs in the relationship, and whether or not you're going to be able to get those needs met, to flex your style to meet his or her needs and vice versa.
Are there any other questions that you think are important to ask?
I think the three questions that from the interview are really important, but most importantly, asking that question around relationship skills. Has your partner the experience and the skills on navigating differences, and can they talk about that?
You know what I find interesting is people who are seeking out relationships that inevitably seem to get into relationships with others that they don't necessarily want the same thing. And it's not because they're not initially showing that they're seeking out the same thing, but one seems to, in the end, want something different. For example, I'm thinking about a dear friend of mine who was with a gentleman for 10 years, and she 3 years ago passed away of a massive heart attack. Anyway, so I maintained a friendship with her partner, a lovely man, and everything would indicate from his past and the way, you know, he acts that, you know, he wants a relationship. So I took the liberty of saying to him, you know, I know someone that I would like to introduce to you. In my other life, many moons ago, I used to own a dating service. So this matchmaker is still in me. I don't know that it'll ever go away. But anyway, oh, okay, fine. And then, you know, he, you know, wanted me to really physically introduce them, like the three of us get together. I was like, I don't want to do that. And then he sort of backpedaled, and he backpedaled more. And then he still did make the attempt. He finally did call this woman, this friend of mine. But then we had another conversation before they had even met. And like, I'm really comfortable with my life. And, you know, I really don't want the hassle of being in a relationship. And, you know, I really like doing my own thing. And I'm not really sure what I want, you know. And this seems to be a common pattern with a lot of people in relationships, is they think they know what they want. They say that they want a significant relationship. They say that they want a committed relationship. But then when it really starts to get into one, they start backpedaling. And so I think asking someone, what is it that you want in a relationship, or what kind of a relationship are you looking for? I think they can almost just be, you know, it can be lip service. And how do you really get to the root of finding out what someone truly wants, or more important, what they are truly capable of, because capability of being in a relationship is a big one. You know, I mean, someone could have had some very tumultuous relationships that had fallen apart, and they're very anxious to get into another one. But the reality of it is that they really can't, because they're still hanging on to the pain of the past. You hear where I'm coming from with that?
Yeah, I do. And I think a lot of that gets into more of what I call a therapy model than a coaching model of going forward. And I don't want to pretend to diagnose and deal so much with our underlying fears and hurt in the past. What I am focused on primarily is going forward and coaching. Mm-hmm. But your point around getting clear about who you are and what you want is a very well stated thing that is hard for a lot of people.
Right.
And I think we can go a long way in understanding that mm-hmm. by getting clear about what our personality is, what our interests, our strengths, and our needs are. Mm-hmm. And that will go a long way in helping us understand what it is we're looking for in a relationship. But let me say something else, because you pointed out something that I think is really important. I keep talking about what an individual wants and needs, what their interests and needs are, but it is a two-way street. It is really important that we have a sincere interest in helping our partner realize his or her interests and meeting his or her needs as well. So it is as important to have curiosity around the other person and a genuine sense of wanting to help and support the other person as it is to understand who we are.
Well, that is obviously very important, or you don't have a relationship. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talk with Francesca. I'm speaking with Sarah Brown. We're talking about how to really, I don't know if I'd even call it, maybe a little playing it a little safe. Maybe, Sarah, what do you think? You know, so that you at least minimize your chances of getting into the wrong relationship. Sarah has a book, has many books, Book of You, which is all about you and figuring out what you want to do in your career, what's going to work for you. And she also has a book called The Book of Two, which is the one that we are going to be giving away today. So the 10th emailer to info@talkwithfrancesca.com, if you just put healthy relationship in the email, the 10th emailer will get that book in. So do that for me now. Jump on your computers. We are going to take a short break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about some common red flags that will brush people off. So stay with us here. Don't jump on that plane. Your body is not the only part of you that needs training. Your brain needs it too. Decision-making and focus are one of the most important skills to accomplish your goals in life. Combat Brain Training is the first targeted neuroplasticity training that actually improves your cognitive ability to observe, decide, and act better and faster. Unlike digital-based programs that research shows create minimal or no real-world benefits, it incorporates portable handheld training tools that utilize all parts of the brain. 100% of the people who have followed the program report significant improvements in performance, regardless of starting cognitive baseline. This program is perfect for anyone looking to accelerate their thinking process and really focus more effectively on any task at hand. Don't wait any longer. Go to combatbraintraining.com and find out more. Coffee no longer has to be a guilty pleasure. You've heard that red wine is good for you because of nature's most potent antioxidant, resveratrol. Vera Roasting Company makes the only coffee infused with it. Each cup of Vera's coffee delivers the same amount of resveratrol as found in a glass of red wine without the alcohol, sulfates, or tannins. Years of medical studies indicate that regular resveratrol in our diets promote cardiovascular health, slows the progression of certain cancers, Alzheimer's disease, and type 2 diabetes. Vera Roasting Coffee won double-blind taste tests against the leading coffees. Vera Roasting also offers its delicious heart-healthy coffees with added vitamin D to help ward off the winter blues. You can't get Vera Roasting coffee in stores. You need to go to veraroasting.com. Free and fast shipping is always available. veraroasting.com. Vera like Vera Bradley. Go to veraroasting.com. That's veraroasting.com.
Captain Lord Mansion is the ultimate bed and breakfast experience. It's the only AAA four-diamond bed and breakfast in Kennebunkport. But it's so much more. It's the perfect, elegant, romantic getaway. Relax at their day spa. Be pampered in your room with heated floors, jetted showers and tubs, gas fireplaces, king and queen beds, flat-screen TVs, and all the quaintness with all the modern conveniences. Be surrounded by impeccable gardens, waterfalls, fountains, a putting green, a charming gift shop, wine cellar, the list goes on and on, including a full three-course breakfast. This is a stay that you will never forget. Engage in our special offers. Call 207-967-3141. 207-967-3141. CaptainLordMansion.com. In Kennebunkport, Maine, memories and elegance await you.
Looking for an authentic Italian meal in an intimate setting? Then you might just want to venture out to Boston this weekend and dine at Terra Mia Ristorante, a true gem among all those rhinestones in Boston's North End. This cozy trattoria with stucco walls and beam ceiling specializes in creative interpretations of Italian classics. Like the cuisines here, the atmosphere is elegant yet understated. Since opening in 1993, Terra Mia Ristorante has aimed to convince diners that there's always more to Italian food than just red sauce. Over the years, the innovative and beloved restaurant has done a great deal of convincing, and best of all, it's reasonably priced. This best-kept secret is worth the trip. Call 617-523-3112 or visit terramiarestaurante.com.
Tides is beachside dining at its best all year round. Located at the end of the Nahant Causeway, directly on Nahant Beach, the ocean views from the dining room and the pub can't be beat, no matter what the season. Nominated for Best of the North Shore from North Shore Magazine for Best Alfresco Dining, Best Kid-Friendly Restaurant, Best Lobster Dinner, and Best Water View. Why would you go anywhere else? Whether you choose their dining room, a frosty pint at their bar, or a sun-drenched deck on Nahant Beach, they guarantee you great atmosphere with super food and service. Their menu is full of fresh, high-quality seafood, prime rib, chicken, pasta, and pizza that everyone will love. Check out their drink menu for fun cocktails, 30 ice-cold beers on tap, and their well-rounded wine list with their state-of-the-art tap wines. They feature full-service lottery and keno. Tides is the place to watch any big game. They have over 20 HD TVs. At Tides, they specialize in casual dining with food that's just delicious, not pretentious. Tides is a fantastic restaurant anytime, summer or winter, lunch or dinner, rain or shine.
The new Cobblestone Cafe on Hanover Street in Boston brings casual, on-the-go American fare to the North End, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Open daily at 7 a.m., Cobblestone Cafe offers burgers, barbecue, salads, fries, milkshakes, seafood, and the very popular Snickerdoodle iced coffee. Delivery and catering are also available. Cobblestone Cafe, 227 Hanover Street in Boston. For more information, call 857-263-8057 or visit them online at cobblestonecafene.com.
All right, we are back and you are listening to Talk with Francesca. I'm speaking with Sarah Brown and we are talking about relationships. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you.
So, Sarah, there are some red flags that I know that you were clear right before the break to say that, you know, you are not a therapist, but you are a coach. But I think that red flags are important to talk about a little bit because I think sometimes people really miss them. They like someone and then they just ignore the red flags. And I think that can be a deadly mistake. So what red flags would you say, other than the really obvious ones that we don't really even need to go down that road? I mean, if it's all about them, you know you're dealing with a narcissist. Some no-brainers, they're insulting, so they're obviously abusive, that kind of stuff. But what are some more insidious ones that sometimes people miss?
Well, one is that your needs are not getting met. So you're continuously complaining to your friends that you don't feel validated or supported by your partner, or you're not getting enough time with your partner, or you're not getting time to do the things that you like, which could be watching football. Things like that would be red flags that you want to think about how you can negotiate. So that's one. A second one would be, and I'm getting more and more interested in this particular one, is fights over money.
And I'm beginning to think that a lot of discussions around money need to occur before a commitment, a long-term commitment is actually made. Because wrapped up in this concept of money are all of our interests, our strengths, and our needs. And it tends to get all embodied, and we tend to fight about the money without looking at some of these underlying causes. So I think that discussions around money and big conflict points on that are red flags that need to be worked through ahead of time.
What do you think about people who, this is just a, you know, off the cuff kind of question, but I'm curious, what do you think about just having this conversation the other day with someone who's getting married and is going to be signing a prenuptial? My feeling is like, what? Like, you're going to do what? That's like starting off on the wrong foot, but I'd be curious what your thoughts are on that.
I think that prenuptials are a very good idea because it gets you to really think about what's important to you and what your needs are and making sure that your needs are protected in the relationship. So I think it's a very good idea. And the prenups tend to focus on money. But if you get below the money issue and really look at what's driving that interest, strengths, and needs, I think it is a very good way for each party to clarify what's really important to them and whether or not they've got the mechanisms in place to address it.
So when you talk about money, you say have a conversation about money early on. What kind of conversation?
Well, a conversation, here's some of the questions that I think are important to ask. How much debt is each party comfortable with? Because that plays into a lot of things around whether or not you're going to be able to have joint credit cards, whether or not you're going to be comfortable signing together on a mortgage on a house, or whether or not you need to keep it separate. Because you are too uncomfortable with you've got different risk tolerances. You've got different priorities in terms of where money gets invested. So that's one thing, is level of debt. The second is level of income and what your comfort level is around where you're going to start developing panic attacks if you don't have that level of income coming in. And do you have a mechanism in place to make sure that you get it? So for me, for example, constant income is a very important thing for my level of security, which means that I needed to continue to work to make sure that I got that. My husband was in he has a much higher risk tolerance, and his businesses tended to be much more volatile in terms of consistency. So it was really important that I work to maintain that level of constant income to satisfy my needs. So those are the kinds of things that I think need to be discussed ahead of time.
Do you think that people should be asking or taking advice from friends about their relationship, or do you think it causes more harm than good? Because, people come from their own frame of reference. And, it's, no secret that oftentimes someone is sort of speaking from their own space rather, and not because they mean to necessarily, it's just where they come from. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on that.
I think there are advantages and there are also risks in taking counsel from people who know and care about you. The important thing about people who know and care about you is that they may see things about you that are blind spots for you. And that's important information to take into account. So if all of your girlfriends, for example, think that this guy is not going to work for you, that's worth listening to, because they may see something they may see a strength or a need of yours that is not going to get met in the relationship. And that's worth paying attention to. It could be a blind spot for us. On the other hand, you've got a very good point around we all come from our own prejudices, our own biases, our own frames of reference. So just because something would be good for me doesn't mean it's going to be good for you. So I think it is worth taking into account, but you need to listen to yourself.
Well, you do. And you know what's funny? I have a wonderful friend, and I love her to pieces. I really do. And you know what? She's always, not always, but often, gives such great input about so much. But the one thing that I really had to deal with in our relationship was it finally hit me one day. It's like, you know, I would rather you just listen today rather than offer me all sorts of advice. And so now it's funny because if we're talking and I have an issue or a question, she will say, do you want to hear what I'm thinking, or do you want my two-bit piece of advice, or would you rather I just listen? You know, and that wasn't an easy thing to say to her because I it was kind of a pattern. It was like, you know, I would say this is going on and she would say, this is what I think. And part of it is, I'm sure, because she is a counselor anyway. That's her work.
And what if we could say that to our romantic partners as well?
Exactly. Absolutely. If you're just tuning in this morning, you're listening to Talk with Francesca, and we're talking about essentially taking off those rose-colored glasses, especially in the first few months, and talking to Sarah Brown about some tips for taking off those blinders. What are some roadblocks then, Sarah, to communication and relationships? I think personally, social media is a big one. You know, I think it's a little off-putting, the texts and the lack of the phone calls. And, you know, I don't know, my age is showing, I guess, but I think that can be, I mean, I think it can be very efficient, as we all know. But I think that, as Nicholas Carr, who wrote the book Utopia is Creepy, said in an interview back a couple of weeks ago, you know, we forget sometimes how to communicate because there's so much of that going on. So that's my like two-bit thing on a roadblock in communication, but I'd like to hear some of yours.
Well, one of the interesting things that I had to negotiate in my own relationship was how much was said in the presence of other people versus how much was discussed very privately one-on-one. So my husband would tend to bring things up at a dinner party, and it would be the first time that I'd heard it.
Oh.
He would ask me for an opinion and whether or not I was willing to commit to do something.
Ooh.
I could not handle that.
Ooh.
But some people can. Some people that are very comfortable in group settings and, kind of voice things. Extroverts are often like
that. Yes, you know, yes.
As soon as they think it, they say it, and they're expecting you to do the same thing in return. Well, that doesn't always work for introverts like me.
So, well, it's also a little backdoorish.
It's not necessarily subversive. It's not necessarily intended that way.
No, I'm not saying. Process. Yeah, I'm not saying that it's necessarily something that is done, you know, maliciously at all, but just rather that it can be, you know, more subtle, easier to communicate, an easier way possibly for that person to communicate.
Right. And so the to your question around communication and what can we do about that, it's understanding those differences and coming up with cues around what can you say or do to your partner in those situations to say, this communication is not going to work for me right now. Can we do something different?
Mm.
And so it's coming up with a little cue, like pulling your ear or touching your nose or something like that to say, okay, I'm going to come up with a quick answer, but we're then going to move off this topic and we'll talk about it later.
Hmm. Well, you've certainly learned how to fight fair. You know, I mean, Sarah, change is hard, though. You know, I mean, have you experienced any of your clients who self-sabotage or down-talk themselves into believing they can't commit to a process of change or working through something or dealing with something? Because, I mean, that's a common thing. Obviously, if it were easy or there were not roadblocks, then they wouldn't need to hire you in the first place, right?
Well, as the saying goes, the only person who enjoys change as a baby, you know, when you're changing a diaper. So yes, change is hard. But I think that when we get really in touch with who we are and begin to appreciate who we are, we can be more supportive of ourselves and figure out what support we need from others.
What about losing a spark in a relationship? I mean, what might be some suggestions for keeping a relationship feeling fresh, other than the obvious ones? You know, the date night and, you know, communicating openly and, you know, keeping your space, but being together, you know, having enough quality time. Are there any that that stand out that possibly our listeners might have not have thought of?
Well, I think the most important thing is understanding what the needs are of your partner and coming up with little ways to satisfy that. And you were talking about date night. Date night is very important to a lot of people. But the way I show appreciation to my husband, the things that keep sparks going, is to throw him a little party where he gets a lot of people around him in indulging his need for a lot of, or it's not really his need, but his usual style around a lot of group gregarious activities. So it's understanding what is unique with respect to your partner and being able to satisfy that. I don't think it's one rule satisfies all.
Well, that's very interesting. So what you're saying is because you're more of an introvert, although you said he was somewhat as well, but that he also has the need to have that extroverted experience. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that, you know, throwing a little party so that he gets to be around a number of other people, so he gets to really kind of emote. Is that what you're saying?
That's it.
Yeah.
Another thing is he really loves very special targeted appreciation. And so I have come up with ways to give him really great celebrations when he has a milestone accomplishment. And he is very big into cards, very beautiful Hallmark type cards with personalized messages in them.
Well, that's good. You're keeping Hallmark in business because these days everything's online.
That's right.
It's amazing. Yeah, I have a friend who loves cards, and she'll send me a card, and we don't live close, but and it's so sweet, you know. And you know, I mean, there's something about a card that's really very, you know, that it's you know, it's like a thank you note. People don't write thank you notes anymore. You know, there's. You know, again, and I think that it's a question I asked you, and then I don't think I really gave you the opportunity to answer it. But what do you think about social media and, you know, how it affects relationships?
I think it depends, again, on the individual. So my husband is huge in social media, as you might suggest. The Energizer Bunny, who loves to have lots of people around him, he gets a great platform on social media. He's on Facebook a lot. I'm not. I am much more of an introvert. So I think that it depends upon the individual. And again, one of the ways I can show appreciation to him is by applauding him on Facebook.
Well, it sounds like you have got what it takes to have a healthy relationship. Have you been married a long time?
22 years.
Oh, okay. All right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talk with Francesca. We are actually winding down. I'm speaking to Sarah Brown, who has written several books, Book of You, Book of Two, which I am giving away. The 10th emailer who sends me an email and puts in the subject line, healthy relationship, will get Sarah's Book of Two, which is a book that will help you as a couple. Sarah, just as we're winding down, is there any question that I haven't asked you that you think is important for our listeners to hear?
I think you pretty much hit it.
Okay.
We've covered the gamut.
We've covered the gamut. Okay, how can our listeners get a hold of you?
The easiest way is to go to my website, which is bookofyou.com. And I also want to put a little plug in for my TEDx talk.
Fabulous.
Finding a romantic partner, available on TEDx.com.
Is that on now?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic. You know something, if after the interview we hang up, if you can send me that link, I'll post that on Facebook for our listeners.
I would be delighted to do that.
All right, Sarah Brown, thank you so much for joining us today on Talk with Francesca. It's been a pleasure. Really appreciate your time.
I enjoyed it too. Thanks a lot.
Okay. All right, it's time to wrap things up. We've got to say goodbye. Hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did. See you next week, same place, same time. And if you miss part of the show, you can go to recent shows on my website. You can also pick up the show on iTunes. Again, see you next week, same time, same place. Make it a great week.